they embrace defeat. They ought to straighten up or move aside for people who will fight for what is right.
Veteran journalist and media critic John Hess. And thank you for listening to WBAI. Thank you for listening to the news tonight. I'm Jose Santiago in New York, and I'm joined by David Sears from our news department. And we need to be off the air in about a minute and a half or 2 minutes, but we wanted to take just a brief moment to remind you that we are in the middle of our membership drive, and we are asking you to call 212-209-2950. We need your support. We can't do this without you. You've heard it all before. We just want to take just a brief minute to remind you that we have operators standing by all day for the next week and a half or so, and we need for you to get on the phone and call 212-209-2950 to support our effort here at WBAI.
And that number is 212-209-2950, and I'm apparently
way off mic here. There I go.
212-209-2950
is the number to call, and when you call that number, somebody will ask you take your pledge. Of course, the basic membership in WBAI is $50 a year. We have a senior citizen, low income, fixed income, just can't make the $50 amount pledge available at $25. But whatever you can pledge, $25, $50, $100, $200, $500, $10, $5, we are more than willing to accept it because we are listener-sponsored radio. We need the money that comes in from our listeners because it doesn't come from any place else. You are the community in community radio, and that's what WBAI is. There will be no Ginsu knives or other paraphernalia offered, at least not during the news hour. We do have a $70 pledge that will get you not only the year's membership in WBAI, but the fabulous WBAI t-shirt. Or similarly, for a $70 pledge, you can get the WBAI coffee mug along with the membership. But whatever you can pledge, it's vitally important that you call and make that pledge to WBAI at 212-209-2950. We can take Visa, MasterCard, American Express, or electronic funds transfers. If you can figure out how to do that, I'm sure there's somebody in Tally who will be more than willing to talk you through the process of setting that up. And then it's all very painless. We especially like it if people pay with plastic because it gets the money into our coffers a lot faster. It saves us the whole process of billing. And if you order a premium, it'll help get that premium to you much faster. 212-209-2950.
212-209-2950. Just repeating, we have tried to refrain, and hopefully we'll be able to do that for the rest of the fundraising drive, from offering massive premiums with books and tapes and that sort of thing, because we just feel that folks who listen to news, our listeners, understand that we need to support this station. We need to, as listeners, step in and take care of business and keep it going without the incentive of a premium here. There are premiums being offered in other programs, and feel free to call then. But if you do call now at this hour, you are saying to the powers that be here that you appreciate what you hear on the news, the effort we make to bring you as much news as we can from a completely different perspective, obviously, than the mainstream, so-called mainstream media, the corporate media. The number to call is 212-209-2950 for a $50 contribution. You get the one-year membership to the station. Again, for a $70 contribution to the station, you get the membership of a year plus a mug or the T-shirt, whatever you prefer. Again, both are suitable for right-handed and left-handed people. 212-209-2950 is the number to call. And thank you to all of you who have been calling. We have been very pleased with the response. You're once again doing it for us and helping us keep going here, and we really, really do appreciate every single call we get. And I think we need to move on, so we are going to wrap it up. 212-209-2950 is the number to call. Keep calling even after the music ends and the next program begins. That is some of the news for Tuesday, May 18, 1999. Tonight's news was engineered by Dred Scott Keyes and produced with David Sears, Leslie George, and John Hess. Verna Avery Brown was in Washington as usual, and I'm Jose Santiago in New York for the WBAI listener-sponsored news. And you're listening to radio station WBAI, where a special three-hour edition of Off the Hook, the computer hacker program, will be coming your way right after this.
On Friday from 7 p.m. in the evening till 3 a.m. in the morning, join the Midnight Ravers as we bring you a two-part marathon special. At 7 p.m., we'll celebrate the life of Mumia Abu-Jamal, who's been languishing on Pennsylvania's death row for 18 years. We'll hear Mumia in his own words with commentaries from Edgar Wideman, Pam Africa, Daruba Benoit Hart, and others. At midnight, we'll switch gears to bring you the best from Jamaica's harmony groups, the Meditations, the Twinkle Brothers, the Gay Lads, the Gladiators, the I3s, the Wailers, and many, many more. So join the Midnight Ravers this Friday for a marathon special special. Only on listener-sponsored, non-commercial WBAI 99.5 FM. The Midnight Ravers, where every show is a special.
WBAI listeners, it's that time again. We're holding our next pledge drive May 11th through the 28th, and we need you.
Be a volunteer. We need your voice to come in and answer phones every day, 7 days a week from 7 a.m. to midnight. We also need your hands to stuff envelopes and mail bills during and after the drive.
So support your community radio station, WBAI, by volunteering during the pledge drive.
Call 212-209-2828. That's 212-209-2828.
And again, you're listening to radio station WBAI. Time now for a special edition of Off the Hook. And there it is, the sound that it all comes down to, the dial tone, the starting point, the kickoff for any adventure you might want to have on the telephone. Well, today we're going to have a series of adventures on the telephone. And some of it, I dare say, will involve you calling into us. This is Emmanuel Goldstein for a special edition of Off the Hook. And we'll be right back.
And a very good evening to one and all. The program is Off the Hook. We're usually on from 8 to 9 o'clock, but tonight, of course, is a special marathon edition of the program. And we are going to be here for 3 hours talking about issues pertaining to technology, the computer hacker world, and consumer affairs, consumer technology scams and ripoffs and things like that, international events, crackdowns on individual liberties, and gosh, should I leave anything out? Isaac, good evening.
Did you leave anything out? We cover the whole gamut of interesting topics. So.
That's true. That's true. Special guest today, Laszlo from commercial radio.
Greetings.
Actually, you're a lot more than from commercial radio. You're involved in all kinds of things.
Yeah, it's nice to see the other side.
Yeah. Well, you're not the other side, though. You're on our side. You really are. But you can hear Laszlo's voice on all kinds of other radio stations. All kinds of other radios. It's kind of scary how many radio stations you show up on.
165 right now.
Doesn't that scare you, Isaac? 165?
That's a little frightening.
We're on one radio station right here, and he's on 165.
Yeah, but I'm only on for 1 minute a day.
But you're probably on, as we speak, someplace.
Probably.
Right? They just keep bouncing your... You ever drive through a city and you hear yourself?
Yes, it actually has happened.
And you don't expect to hear yourself.
No, and it's pretty frightening.
It is. It is. Well, I imagine if you do commercials, you probably hear yourself too all the time. But I know some people who do voiceovers, and they turn the station when they hear it.
Right. Because it's a reminder that you are a hack.
Absolutely. Well, I can't think of a better person to have with us tonight as we talk about the value of non-commercial radio than someone who has been in the belly of the beast, as it were, seen what commercial radio is all about. We're going to be getting to that. But what we need to get to first... And it's because of the rotation of the Earth that we have to do this. There's really no other reason. It's a lot later in Yugoslavia than it is here now, which means that we have guests who want to be on the radio show tonight from Yugoslavia as a very special part of this program. However, it's 5-6 hours ahead of us right now? And you know, it's like 1 a.m. or something like that. So we want to call them and do that part of the program first so we can get on with the rest of it as well. Let's first do some background. What's going on over there? As you are aware, Yugoslavia is the latest of the countries of the world that we're bombing. what I hear, it's going quite well. We're bombing them. The bombs are landing, and all kinds of things are blowing up, including people and targets of all sorts. It's just unbelievable. I think a lot of people don't realize what it's like to be on the other end. And I know a lot of people in this country don't realize that because they've never really been on the other end. Yes, we've traveled to away games in other countries and fought in their wars and put our side against various other sides over there. We've never had a home team thing going on here. We've never had Chicago being blitzkrieged or New York having to observe blackout time, things like that. It's never happened to us. I mean, yeah, you've had Pearl Harbor get bombed by the Japanese. That's it for the century, isn't it? That's pretty much it. Unless you want to count Oklahoma City or something like that. That's, you know.
Which I'm from there.
You're from Oklahoma City.
You didn't know that?
No.
I should have brought my father last night. Came to visit in New York, and he brought like all the newspapers with the pictures of the insanity.
Wow.
Just like trees, just with tons of metal shrapnel in them.
I was actually referring to the bombing.
I know, but
you're referring to the tornado.
I know, okay. But God is sending all sorts of stuff their way right now.
God's sending mixed signals.
Right.
I don't know what exactly it means, but this interesting article. This showed up on Consortium News, consortiumnews.com. If you can't spell that, you probably shouldn't be reading the net anyway. That's my way of weeding out people who shouldn't have net access. Can't spell it, you can't go there. Okay, we're going to turn the phone off because people are going to call me during the show and I really can't take any phone calls.
Well, they don't know you're doing a show right now.
Yeah, that's why they call.
Okay.
Of course they know I'm doing a show right now. And they're calling because, hey, I can hear the phone ring on the air. So it's the latest fad.
You're usually on an hour from now. So
that's true.
They
but we also advertise on the website and by the way, I should point out, this is the first time ever that we've done a radio show for fundraising purposes that's there on the internet. In fact, Porkchop, who is handling our web access, real audio. Sound over the net thing, it's his birthday today, by the way, too. So
it's his birthday.
Yes, he blew that. He could be out right now, the toast of the town, you know, because he is up there in society's circles.
Happy birthday, Porkchop.
He's at home instead, slaving away, making sure that we're going out to however many people. And that's what I'd like to ask right now is how many people are listening at this early hour. And we're hoping to set a record. Usually it's around 125 or so that are listening in. And those are 125 listeners from any place in the world that we don't usually have. Right now, we're the only show on WBAI that's doing that, and we understand that pretty soon, hopefully after this marathon, we'll be able to go 24 hours. A lot of that depends on just how seriously it's taken. So this is a good opportunity to prove the worth of the online listeners when we give out the phone number to call in and pledge to the radio station. What you're doing is you're investing in this program, you're investing in the station, investing in freedom of speech, making sure that this place will still be here. Because as you notice, Laszlo, you can attest to this, this radio station doesn't have what most of the stations that Your Voice appears on has, commercials.
Right.
Not a single one.
So we're not going to commercial breaks?
We're not going to commercial break. You're stuck in here.
We should have broken once already, actually.
Yeah, really.
If this was a commercial, if this was a commercial program, yes, we would have broken probably twice by now. You know, we'll be right back after this. How did that feel? Sort of have a sinking feeling.
Yeah, that's kind of. I didn't like that at all.
You didn't like
you're
that.
Not,
I didn't
are
like
you underwritten
either.
Or anything?
No, no underwriting. No. Oh yeah, of course we are underwritten by the listeners. Okay. The listeners are our sponsors. So, I'm going to, on the off chance that there are some people listening that can only listen for a few minutes, and actually that's probably true because the average listenership is what in radio terms, like 5 to 7 minutes.
Well, yeah, that's the ratings are determined in those short periods.
They found the beeper number, too. Like that. Isn't that something? Okay. Guess what? Vibrate mode. That's that. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, it's based on people that, yeah, basically listen for 5 or 10 minutes at a time. And it also depends on the part of the country that you're in. I mean, obviously, as you know from your drive-in today, people spend a lot of time in their car. So between here in L.A., Chicago, people listen to the radio a lot longer. But in other cities where, you know, like a 10-minute commute is considered horrendous.
I had a 4-hour commute this afternoon. I don't want to talk about someone complaining about 10 minutes. That's nuts.
But it's what's really odd about radio is, you know, television ratings have always been so, like, high-tech. And radio, people are still writing in diaries, you know, what channels that they listen to. And, I mean, people now have, like, 15 presets on the radio. You know, who's going to write down, I listen to WBAI for 10 seconds, and then I listen to...
Yeah. What does Seek count? You know,
I don't know.
It can. But the point is, people are listening. People have tuned in. And maybe we're captivating you right now with this discussion. Maybe we've captivated you in the past. And maybe you don't have a whole lot of time to tune in for the whole 3 hours. If that is so, and you do want to contribute, you do want to make sure this place is around, you want to make sure this radio station... knows you're out there and knows that you have a voice, please give a call to the pledge line at 212-209-2950. And we have a couple of incentives that we're offering here. We're going to announce one or two others later on tonight. What we have is kind of interesting. This is for you people that have computer access already, that you have a computer, a Mac, or you know one of those other computers, and you have a CD-ROM drive in there. We have something that has never been offered before on this radio station, or on any radio station for that matter, and that's a full 4-volume set of every radio show we've done since 1988, actually from 1988 to 1997.
That's a lot of radio.
That's a lot. Believe me, that's more radio than I think most people would want to hear in a long time. Not that we do a particularly bad job, but... Let's just stop that.
We'll not continue that.
No, we'll not continue that thread. But if you start in 1988 and you go to 1997, you will have witnessed so much history, so many voices in the passing of time, and seen where this whole hacker world, where the whole freedom of information world, where the whole computer society is heading. You'll be amazed. Now, what do you need to do this? You need a computer with a CD-ROM drive. You need... a copy of Real Audio, which you can get free off the net at www.real.com. And that's really it. You plug that in and open up your browser. Yeah, you need a browser too, but you know you can just play it directly from Real Audio
as
well.
You can just open the files.
You can just open the files. It's really pretty simple. If you have any problems, of course, you can contact us and we'll be happy to help you. No one has ever had a problem getting these files to play unless they didn't have a computer.
Well, if you
recall, they thought it was a CD or something
right.
like
well,
that.
Well, Rebel did report to me an issue he was having. With the CDs. But
I can report 10,000 issues Rebel. I have with Rebel, but...
Is he the guy that didn't get you Star Wars tickets?
No.
Okay.
No, that wasn't the guy. That was somebody else.
Are they listening right now?
Rebel has now risen up in the ranks. I have no idea, but here's the thing. Actually, I'd like to know, what was Rebel's problem?
What was Rebel's problem? He couldn't actually access the... Or rather, when he would click on the links in our wonderful HTML indexing, it wouldn't open the Real Audio player. So I had to instruct him on how to add Real Audio as an application to his silly Netscape, OpenWhip bit.
Another much easier way around that is simply to open Real Audio and then open the files from the Real Audio menu.
Well, if you install Real Audio, it will update those files on its own.
Yeah.
You just, grabbed a copy from a friend of his.
No, you have to go to the website, download it, and it prompts you to install it. And it does work.
It does it all.
On all platforms. So
unless you're Rebel, you shouldn't have a problem.
Unless you're running Vax VMS or something, then you might have some problems. But if you're running a typical consumer-oriented system, you should have no difficulty. Anyway, let's get to the point. The point is, we're offering these four CD-ROMs.
They're really cool.
Yeah, and you can get this for an amazingly low price, which I think is an amazingly low price, of $150 pledge. $150, you get every single CD-ROM that we have ever put out, which is only four, but that's every radio show we've done from 1988 to 1997. And there are quite a bit of things we have covered. In fact, I think I remembered.
Who spent all the time archiving this stuff?
Guess. I'm going to hand these out.
Big list.
We have a whole big list of everything we ever talked about on all these shows.
Oh, yes. It does come with the summaries.
Now, I should point out, you can get this on the web. You can download each and every one of these shows. But each one is about 8 or 9 megs in length. Some of them are quite long, too, if we did marathon shows in the past.
And we had that 2-hour one.
Yeah, we once had, I think, a 6-hour show. They're all on here, and you'll hear people calling in that you may still recognize.
Tanya Harding.
You'll hear the first mentions of Kevin Mitnick, the Galactic Hacker Party, Operation Sun Devil, interviews with such people as Cheshire Catalyst, Alan Rubin, John Markoff. Yes, that's right. John Markoff was actually in our studios. Richard Matthews, Rob from Amsterdam, Steve Jackson, John Perry Barlow, Mark Green, Craig Nidoff, Julian DeBell, Peter Barnes, Sheldon Zenner, Fiber Optic, Paul Edwards, Larry Berman, Scott Chasen, Chris Goggins, Joel Shapiro, Katie Hefner, Mr. French, Wilt Hildebrand, Charles Rowles, Jack Brooks, Tom Dunleavy, Joy Bubbles. I don't know if you know who that is. That's High Rise Joe and Grecia, the blind phone freak from Minneapolis.
Oh, yes.
And Wynn Schwartau. And that's only on one of the volumes. That's only on one of the volumes, all those names. So please give us a call, 212-209-2950, if that sounds like something you'd like it to kind of remember all the things we've done here on this radio station. And we will have more, as we mentioned, we will have more things that we're giving away. But again, that number, 212-209-2950, please show your support, especially if you're listening on the net. Let us know where you're calling from. I really look forward to the first person calling in from overseas. And you can use Visa and MasterCard. I'm not sure if you can use American Express. You might be able to do that, too. I think you can. So if you're calling from overseas, that's not a problem. You don't have to worry about that. Just use a credit card, and it'll work out just fine. Again, if you're overseas, country code is 1. People here don't believe me. People don't believe we have overseas listeners. I'm getting all these bizarre looks in the other room. No,
we have overseas listeners.
We have that room over there. Listeners in Singapore. We have listeners in Europe. We have listeners in Australia. So give us a call, country code 1-212-209-2950. We'll get more into that in just a little bit. Here's that story from Consortium News. At center stage and behind the scenes, NATO's war for Kosovo is pressing the edges of modern information warfare, a phrase I hate. Through the early phases of the conflict, NATO concentrated its attacks on command and control centers, power stations, and even propaganda outlets. Those attacks included sophisticated electronic assaults on computers directing Serb air defenses and so-called soft bombs to short out electrical lines. But there are new indications that President Clinton might be opting for a far more expansive high-tech info war assault to punish the Yugoslavian government, its leaders, and the nation's economy for the atrocities in Kosovo. In such an electronic offensive against Serbia, U.S. intelligence has a secret capability to go much further than sporadic battlefield computer hacking and causing blackouts. U.S. info warriors have the capacity to plant viruses in civilian computer systems, alter bank records, and generally wreak havoc on Yugoslavia's infrastructure, from disrupting electrical utilities to shutting down the phone system. U.S. government hackers could target government bank accounts used for purchasing military supplies or the personal accounts of Yugoslav leaders. Funds could be deleted electronically to frustrate the prosecution of the war or to punish selected Yugoslav leaders for the ethnic cleansing of Kosovo. Intelligence sources say the U.S. forces in the Balkans were ill-prepared for this broader info war when the NATO bombing started on March 24th. One reason was the difficulty of gaining a NATO consensus for exotic tactics. So initially, the info war focused only on the battlefield. Time magazine caught a glimpse of the U.S. capability in its reporting on the Pentagon's successes in taking down the Serbian air defenses. The Pentagon cited attacks, jamming, and corrupting data which the Allies have fed into Yugoslav computers through microwave transmissions. I mean, this is interesting stuff here.
It's definitely fun stuff.
I don't know how much of it is actually true. Remember, we are dealing with mass media here.
Well, so those soft bombs they were talking about, they're actually interesting little
soft
shells.
Soft bombs. Don't you just love that? Soft, gentle bombs.
Sounds like a cuddly little bear.
Well, yeah. It doesn't actually explode so much as it has these four panels that pop off, and they send out these bolas with graphite strings. And the idea is that they open up over top of high-tension power lines,
mm-hmm.
And as the graphite threads roll over the high-tension power lines, it shorts them all out and, you know, blows out the transformers and the substations and everything. And they're actually pretty effective. That's a true one that I know of.
Now, also, there's been talk recently of the United States leading a campaign to cut Yugoslavia off from the Internet.
Yes.
What do you think about that?
They contacted unknown persons, contacted L'Oreal, and said... Well, why don't you, just kind of make sure that satellite link, the channel that you give the Yugoslavian ISPs, kind of goes down,
mm-hmm.
you know, just inexplicably. And L'Oreal's kind of sitting there saying, is this legal? So, there's been some interest in that, although the denials following its discovery have been certainly forthcoming.
But do you notice a trend here that the U.S. government says one thing, does another? Puts hackers,
well, that's new.
Puts hackers in prison for many, many years, and then goes out and says, hey, it's okay.
Here's $100.
Yeah.
Go to war, son.
Please use these abilities that we've told you are so illegal and times them by 1,000 and do this for your country.
It's okay to do something illegal if you're doing it for Uncle Sam.
Yeah. Yeah, like gamble, for instance.
Right.
You know, that's perfectly all right. So yeah, they have no trouble with that. Censorship. Censorship is bad unless you're censoring the enemy. You know, we blow up their TV stations, blow up their radio stations, because they're passing around propaganda. What do you think we're passing around? We pass around propaganda all the time. And, nobody stands in our way.
How do you just turn the Internet off for a country?
A big red switch.
Yes. Is it like a hose that you crimp, like a garden
right.
hose? No more data for you.
Sorry, you can't... good question. The network is so pervasive that you're not going to be able to shut the entire thing down unless you, like, go along the entire border with a really big set of scissors and cut every single piece of copper going in and out. The idea with the satellite is that you just knock out the satellite channel and you're now no longer having the high-speed access bouncing off the Clark belt and into the rest of the network. So they'll be restricted to copper, at which point, like they said, they're in the switches and they can shut down the ground-based telecommunications, so you can just go... And it goes out,
mm-hmm.
which is actually unfortunate because a lot of the people in Yugoslavia, so far as the civilians, are they're really one of the only means of communication with family outside of the nation is email. And email is becoming a very serious means of communications in this. And
well,
the particular conflict has been...
There is another way. There is another way to communicate with people. And that, of course, is...
The telephone.
And that's what we're going to try to do right now is communicate with somebody over there in Yugoslavia, war-torn Yugoslavia, where the bombs are dropping even as we speak. And I suspect we might have some difficulty getting through. Now, I believe our carrier, our default carrier is AT&T, and I have a suspicion about something, which I'm hoping is wrong, but I'm having a suspicion about it. So let's give this a try. 011. And, of course, the country code for Yugoslavia. Does anybody know what the country code for Yugoslavia is?
Don't ask here.
10.
Nope, it's 381.
381.
Yeah, and, I'm going to blot out the rest of the number here. And let's see, we'll try doing that.
You know, you could make a nice segue here about how expensive overseas calls are and how people should call in. And
that's true. But this is...
One donation.
Here we go. Okay, now it wants my special access code. Which I'm definitely going to block out. Here we go. Now.
This is KDD. Telephone numbers in Osaka now require 9 digits.
Osaka?
Please dial again the country code 81.
That's Japan.
Another
I dialed 381, not 81, you stupid computer.
A little
How do you like
off
that?
The mark
This is how easy it is to mess things up with technology, isn't it? Yeah, I was driving in before, by the way, and I was parked, literally parked under a sign that said, normal traffic conditions ahead, no delays ahead, and everybody was stopped.
Well, that would be normal traffic
conditions. Whose fault was it? Was it the people? Was it the people who were disobeying the sign, or was it the sign?
Well, I was walking over here from the subway. There was a guy cleaning the sidewalk, and he had these four yellow signs that say, caution, wet floor, and it's raining. And I just laughed at him, and he didn't know why. And I pointed the sign, and he still gave me this, like, bizarre look.
All right. We're going to try this again. 381. Maybe, do you hear that 3? That 3 doesn't sound quite right. Doesn't sound like a 3.
Well, what's 3-3 now? What's 3-3-3?
I don't know what the hell. That's...
You have reached Mars.
Okay. We have to fix this phone on the air. Okay, that was definitely
that was a
3. All right, so it was our fault.
What is it, like a wounded 3 or something?
Try this other...
I don't know.
We have a 3 here.
It was
shot
in
the got both 3s in there. All right, and now... Trying the rest. Should get a little... Okay, they want our
super
special
happy
code now. Here we go.
Troje promenjen. Pozovite službu informacije. The number has changed. Please call directory assistance. Troje promenjen.
Well, that sounds like
the right country.
Sounds like the right country.
The number has changed.
Yeah, but the number hasn't changed because I called this number only a little while ago, so...
Well, you never know. It is a very volatile situation.
Okay. That number did not change. I'm going to try... We're going to try a different number, all right? I knew this was going to happen. This is what happens when you try dialing live international calls over the air. Okay. Got the 3
maybe
out that time.
Bomb hit a substation or something.
It's entirely possible. I mean, you know, it's the kind of thing that we joke about ordinarily, but in this case, it absolutely could have happened. Okay, let's see if this actually works.
Super happy tone.
Okay, we haven't gotten a tone. There we go. Okay, I guess I had to process the number. There we go. Yugoslavian ring.
Hello?
Hi, is this guy? Hi, it's Manuel Goldstein from New York. You're live on the radio right now.
Oh.
Yeah, we had a bit of problems getting through, but actually not nearly as much as I thought we might have. So,
that's good.
Very happy we made contact. Now, to update our listeners, you have been involved in radio station B92. Which has had a long history in Yugoslavia of controversy. I suppose maybe the best thing would be to have you explain to us when B92 started, what your involvement in it was, and anything else that you think is interesting about it.
Well, it started almost exactly 10 years ago. On the 15th of May, we were to celebrate the 10th anniversary. So it started under the one-party system, actually, but as a local communal radio station reaching basically heart of Belgrade, because the transmitter we were allowed to use was very weak. But then it grew into a powerful sort of radio station, especially when we were allowed to use a more powerful transmitter. And Radio B92 also founded a network of independent local radio stations throughout Serbia, which rebroadcast B92's news, regarded as very independent and unbiased and in many ways accurate. So, but now that B92 is banned, so we had a very, very low-profile celebration of the birthday. It was, and also given the circumstances, we couldn't really celebrate much, I'm afraid.
Uh-huh. So now, tell us the most recent developments.
Well, B92 was banned a couple of hours before the NATO intervention started, 24th of May, when our chief editor, Veran Matic, was taken into custody by policemen without any explanation, and then 8 hours later he was released, also without any explanation, and they took off excited. That's, I mean, when I say they, I say, I mean, police and some officials from the Ministry of Telecommunications. The exciter is the part of the transmitter which enables the transmitter to broadcast. So they took it off, and so we could only use internet and satellite links to broadcast. So we reached only people. We stopped to be FM station at that moment because only people with real audio and with satellite dishes could tune in. But then on the 2nd of April, the station was taken over completely by the regime. They imposed new management. They practically expelled the staffers because they said, well, they asked people whether they wanted to work with new management, which was completely state-controlled and affiliated with the ruling party. And nobody wanted to collaborate, so to say, with the regime. And they start broadcasting on our frequency, which is 92.5 FM. And they were still broadcast their news and the music they find more appropriate for the taste of the public or whatever. So this is a completely different station now, and B92 team is still around, but they are not allowed to use their offices, not even to take out their CDs and records and stuff they left behind.
So they actually call the radio station B92 still?
Oh yes, they call it exactly B92, and they claim this is the true B92 station, which is supposed to be a youth radio station to kind of reach younger audience, and they do it their way, and they tune into state radio after 10 o'clock p.m., and they rebroadcast the program by Radio Television Serbia. So this is a completely different radio station, and the values they promote are completely different from those we have stood for 10 years now.
So it would actually be possible for somebody in Belgrade who is listening to the radio to just hear these new voices on the air, but basically the same name of the station, it's possible they might not even know that something has changed. Is that right?
No, I don't think so. Maybe some older people who are tuning in only to the news, maybe they wouldn't really recognize the difference in music because they don't really care. And they actually, we had a very interesting audience because we were attracting lots of younger people in Belgrade, and also because certain programs have been rebroadcast by various local stations throughout Serbia and even Montenegro. So, the news we produced were actually listened to by many, many older people, so to say. And when the music starts, they would most probably tune into something different because we have never played a real pop music, and it is more similar to college radios around the States. It's more alternative. It's rather Sonic Youth and it's rather Smashing Pumpkins than, for example, Bryan Adams, if you know what I mean.
Oh, yes, we certainly do. Absolutely.
So this kind of music was not really very well received by older generation,
mm-hmm.
but they endured and they bore with us for the news.
They tolerated it, yes. And they,
yes, because the news. At that time, Radio B92 was the only independent electronic medium in Belgrade. So that's what mattered a lot, and it's an electronic medium, so it was quick and fast and brought accurate information promptly. So this is different from print. They would have to wait for another day to,
mm-hmm.
to read about that. So the significance of the radio actually increased very much.
Well, I'm seeing a lot of parallels here between Pacifica and what you're going through at B92. I mean, we're a non-commercial alternative voice. About the only thing we don't have is armed troops marching through the door, taking over the station and playing different kinds of music and news. It makes you think that such a thing might not be so impossible.
Well, now we are actually talking about a rather different situation because we are now, you could say, between hammer and anvil, because not only did the regime use this illegal, actually, acts to ban B92 and impose a completely different management and news editors there, but also because of the NATO intervention, so you can't really expose yourself much in terms of public statements if you're banned and if you can't accredit yourself as a regular journalist in this country anymore, because you could be under new decrees issued by the government called the traitor, that you are subversing territorial integrity of the country during very difficult times, and so our hands are quite tied at this very moment, because on the one hand you have the NATO intervention and, well, fears for your own security, basic security, so to say, and on the other hand you have a very, very restrictive legal system now under the state of war, because Yugoslavia declared state of war, which immediately has different legal consequences.
So basically the bombing has made the opposition be buried all the deeper.
Yes, and today we had a very, very sad incident. A couple of days ago, the leader of the Democratic Party, that's the name of the party, Zoran Djindjic, was called a traitor by radical party leader Vojislav Šešelj. So today the offices of Democratic Party in Belgrade were demolished and painted in red paint. It was said, "This can be your blood." So these are all intimidation measures by. We don't really know at the moment how much they were controlled or were kind of expression of some unleashed group, but Democratic Party in a way were very, very critical, was very critical towards the NATO intervention on one hand, but also realized that President Milosevic's policy also actually brought the intervention about in a way. And because of his statements and interviews to the foreign press, he was called a traitor. Now the offices were demolished in a way. So we are talking now about a very different atmosphere, because Radio B92 was banned before. The most recent ban was in 1996 during the winter demonstration of the massive civil anti-regime demonstrations in Belgrade, when you could say that the whole world admired the non-violence with these demonstrations and the persistence of the people who demonstrated for 3 months in the winter time, and it was banned briefly. But then the international community was actually very much concerned about B92, because B92 was recognized as a genuine voice of democracy in a way, and gained many international awards for promoting tolerance, ethnic tolerance, and its campaigns and against any kind of ethnic hatred and for human rights. And the international community put a lot of pressure back to the regime, and the station was reopened. But now international community is busy doing other things, I'm afraid, and that's why this ban can still be sort of unnoticed didn't cause any serious conversation on this behalf.
Well, one of the questions that I hear asked most often is what has happened to all those hundreds of thousands of people who stood up against the government so many years ago, and how come they're not doing that now?
Well, I tried to explain now. This is we are currently under the state of war, and this is officially declared state of war. And I tell you that these this also implies very serious legal consequences for various activities. And the criminal law changed, and the law and information changed, and now there is a decree that a person could be detained arbitrarily for 60 days to an unknown place in case Ministry of Interior finds this person dealings dangerous to the state, or if he or she holds any publications or materials which contribute to or which undermine state sovereignty. So basically this is a very, very broad interpretation of these decrees, and basically if you have a New York Times in your at your home, you can be accused for, well, spreading defeatism or causing insecurity among people, etc., etc. So there is now very little people can do under such a very restrictive law, plus on the top of that you have an ongoing, well, I don't count these days, but we are well of 50 days intervention, which causes lots of destruction. So these people didn't really disappear. They're somewhere around, and they're, well, they didn't change their mind in terms of their affiliation to Milosevic, and people are still, people who were against Milosevic before are even more against him now, but they don't, doesn't really make them necessarily NATO lovers, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm. Yes. What's the general mood like there as you walk through the streets on a typical day now?
Oh, well, I can't say it's a bright sort of atmosphere around me. Basically, at 5 o'clock, people just try to go home as soon as possible because now these days we have also daily air raids or alerts, so it's not only during the evening or during the night. And so people would buy what they need to buy and hurry home and stay with their families, etc. There is no production, so people don't really work. There is no money, so people don't really get their salaries or pensions, or if they do, these amounts are very, very small, or not really don't really match with what their allowances were before the war. And busy getting supplies and thinking whether there will be any ground troops or not, trying to tune into other news to hear the debate, and because these things kind of matter, and they wait for some kind of solution. They hope that there will be an end to this, and some kind of agreement will be reached. But they basically feel quite powerless, because they feel that now decisions are up in hands of some uncontrollable powers. On one hand, you have Milosevic, and on the other hand, you have NATO countries. You know, so this is not something people can change by any kind of demonstrations or vote or an article published, because there is a complete censorship at this moment now in Serbia. So each paper is sent to the Ministry of Information and has to be approved by the ministry. So that's it.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any?
Anyways, I can say we are now talking. I'm talking to New York at the moment, and I just had a glass of wine and a tuna sandwich. So I'm far better off than people in Pristina or Djakovica or Prizren or Pećin, Kosovo. So I shouldn't really complain much if I look.
Well, I think you have many reasons to complain the situation that you currently find yourself in. And since you are talking to New York, in fact, you're talking to a good part of the world tonight, can you give us some kind of a message from the Yugoslav people to the American people as to just what we can do to help, what kinds of pressures we should be putting on to our government officials, where you see this whole thing going?
Well, I can't really talk on behalf of Yugoslav people, because we are many, and I still hope there are different voices. So I can speak on behalf of Radio B92, and I can speak on behalf of myself, because I don't want to misrepresent some other opinions here. But if we are talking about B92, I can, well, tell you that we are setting up a website, and in cooperation with a group based in Amsterdam called Help B92, and our website is called freeb92.net, so you can go and visit the site and check out for the news, but also the atmosphere and the activities conducted by the B92, who, as I said, won several important international prizes. The last one was actually delivered by Mike Stipe from REM to Veran Matic in Milan on the MTV Awards, for the Free Your Mind Award it was. And so at this moment, when we can't really broadcast, we try to use internet as an alternative means to express our, well, opinions, and also to inform the public about the oppression here and about the legal decrees which hinder opposition activities at the moment, and also offer several useful links for anyone who wants to get some information about the situation here in Yugoslavia and around it. But what to say, and what to, well, to the American public, I can't really say much. I believe there will be no ground troops now, because for me it would mean a general mobilization, which means that all the men I know, who are some of them are in hiding, they don't want to be drafted into war they don't believe is theirs. So the general mobilization with the ground troops would mean that all the men I know would be forced into the army, and I believe that many lives will be lost in this very, very hard battle over Kosovo. So I hope that the American people realize that Serbia is not really a monolith state with one very pro-Milosevic's standpoint or opinion. I wish they believed that there are still people around who keep their criticism and retain their criticism of the regime, as they did for 10 years now since he rose to power, but that the NATO intervention does not really help them express these feelings and try to do any prudent or so to say significant action in the direction to change anything in the country.
Well, I think what a lot of people forgot about when this whole thing started was that there are civilians in any country, and that these bombings have taken a toll. And are continuing to take a toll. There are always civilian casualties. And while we may say time after time, after we bomb a bus or a train or whatever, well, we're really sorry that civilians got killed, but that's a risk. Well, you know, people are beginning to ask, how much of a risk are we willing to take here? How many civilians are we willing to kill to drive our point across? And just how effective is that going to be in the end anyway? Is it really going to stop Milosevic? Is it really going to help the people in Kosovo? A lot of questions I see being asked now that were not being asked as quickly before. It was being asked by certain people, many of them here at Pacifica, in fact. But I think when you see, a lot of it is control of information. If you see what's going on there, if you see the sights of the street, you see what it's like to live through the eyes of somebody in Belgrade, you begin to think of it in a different way. And if it's cut off from you, if you don't see it, then you don't think about it. Now, I find this particularly interesting because there has been talk recently of the United States and other NATO countries seeking to cut off Yugoslavia from the internet. Now,
yes. Right. I had to laugh. Well, I was really very angry with that, because not so long time ago, NATO had an interesting idea of setting up a web page in Serbo-Croat where they could, through which they could inform Serbian public about the real story or the real news or what, because they said, well, people don't know really what's happening. If they know, if they learn, they would change their minds and they wouldn't really, they would turn against Milosevic. And I was imagining in villages like some peasants with laptops tuning in or logging into NATO web pages, and I just had to laugh because people who had access to internet, they are not, I mean, they do read New York Times and they do read whatever, CNN or BBC pages, or they visit other important sites. And then after a couple of weeks, they said, no, actually, we think we should ban internet in this country so these people just can be kept in even greater darkness. So I think it was a very, very, well, stupid, I have to say, a silly, silly decision. And I'm very happy that it actually was never really conducted, and James Rubin actually realized that that idea was not extremely intelligent. But the thing about the, if we have to go back to the intervention and NATO air raids, I do realize the effort to stop the suffering of the Albanian population in Kosovo. But I just couldn't really see how do you protect civilians on the ground as this intervention was designed in the first place, with F-16s and with Tomahawks, because I think it was slightly immoral if you can't really send the ground troops from the very beginning and then protect the civilians on the ground, because if you want to expel somebody from your country, you don't need radar systems or anti-aircraft defense systems. You need a knife or a AK or a rifle, and then you can just continue with ethnic cleansing. And I thought actually that they miscalculated the potential of the Yugoslav army, because I believe they hoped that this will be over in a couple of days. The most preponderous force in the world, NATO, attacks quite small states. Serbia is quite small compared to European standards, even not to mention America. But this whole affair and enterprise goes on for 50 days, and we are still back to square one. We still have lots of refugees outside the country. We have lots of internally displaced persons, and it's very hard for us here in Belgrade to see any end game. I believe it must be very hard for you even to see any exit out of this. And this is what kind of scares me, because if there is no coherent plan or strategy, you know, one day we're opening internet links so more Serbs can be informed about the situation. The second day you say no, internet has to be banned because they don't deserve to read the internet, they are barbarians, as we often hear by certain Western representatives, and then, you know, we see there are lots of confusion among policymakers. There will be ground troops, no, there won't be ground troops, and there are various different considerations which I think do not really help this whole affair is resolved.
We're speaking with Duska from the original B92 radio in Belgrade, Yugoslavia. And Duska, we're in our final moments here. I'd just like to ask you, what is on the agenda for the people, the original people of B92? Is there anything planned, say, for the internet or anything like that? And also, please tell us how people here in this country can help, can contact you, and just what it is that we can be doing.
So there is, apart from this website we are setting up, and also with friends who live abroad, some Radio B92 people just happen to be abroad, and they're men, and they don't want to come back because they won't be able to leave the country anymore because of the new law. But also we have received a lot of support by various international media organizations, Committee to Protect Journalists based in New York being one of them, but also AMARC, the World Community of the World Association of Community Radio Stations, also launched a solidarity project in support of B92, and people can send their support letters. They can even send checks to the Media Development Loan Fund for Free B92. It's also based in New York, and it's 45 West 21st Street, and so people can also call them and see what they can do for us. The World Association of Community Radio Stations are also trying to get various radio stations around the world to send small donations and, so to say, adopt a B92 journalist